can light that star in San Marcos. It's a Bobcat winner and a repeat Sunbelt Conference championship for the Bobcats.
Right down the middle, struck him out. As the Bobcats have knocked off the top-ranked team of the country in their house.
Afternoon, good night, whenever you may be listening to this edition of the States Up Podcast. I'm your host, Brant Freeman, and this a special edition of the podcast as we talk Texas State softball. This the hottest team of the Sunbelt Conference heading into this week's Sunbelt Tournament, which as of this recording is now underway in Mobile, Alabama. Bobcats not just the hottest team in the Sunbelt, but in the country, 15 straight wins, longest active winning streak in the nation, a record of 35-17 going into this tournament. So the Bobcats, again, have been unreal over the past month or so, really gaining steam at the right time of year. And this is the beginning, or this week rather, could be a season-defining one for the team. If they can make a run in the Sun Belt tournament, perhaps win a title and can get back to the NCAA tournament, and if they do so, it would be the second straight year they have reached the NCAAs and the fifth time in the last six seasons. So again, playing really well right now. And the week really got started off on a good note, too, as for their good play down the stretch, they were recognized in the form of the All-Conference honors. Five players named All-Sunbelt Conference. A pair of second-teamers, including Kat Krennic, whose batting average ranked in the top 10 of the Sun Belt all year long, and Sierra Trahan, a player that Ricky Woodard told us, the Bobcats' longtime head coach. She felt as if Trahan would be a special player, one whose career would be one that we would remember for quite some time. And if this year is of any indication, that's going to be true. Because Trahan not only named second-team All-Sunbelt, she was also honored as the Sunbelt Conference Freshman of the Year. Second straight year, a Bobcat has earned that prestigious award. Sarah Vandeford got the honor a year ago, and you know, Trahan, one of the more consistent players the Bobcats had all season, led the team in hits, a fixture hitting second of the order for most of the year. Very good defense out in left field, too, and very deserving of the Freshman of the Year award in the Sun Belt. First team All-Conference honors went to Caitlin Rogers, who was probably the toughest out in the Sun Belt over the final month of the year, hitting for power, getting on base, driving in runs, and this was a career year for Rogers, who wound up being one of the Bobcats' better power hitters throughout the 2022 season. So Rogers named first team. As was Hannah Earls, second-year player, Earls, and somebody who made a position change over the offseason from the outfield to shortstop. Her defense got better down the stretch, and really, again, offensively, like so many of her teammates, just tough to get out over the final 6 weeks. And of course, a tear on the base paths once she reaches among the league leaders and stole the bases again as she was a year ago. And the other first-team All-Sunbelt honor went to our guest for the State Sub podcast this week, Jessica Mullins, not only named first-team All-Sunbelt, but also, and rightfully so, names the Sunbelt Conference's Pitcher of the Year. Many believe going into the year that that award would go to Kendra Lamb from Louisiana or Leanna Johnson from Troy, who was the preseason Pitcher of the Year, or perhaps Olivia Lackey from South Alabama. You know, certainly Mullins wasn't completely left off that list, but had a lot to contend with to earn the award. But you look at the numbers by year's end, Mullins and her Sunbelt ranks first in ERA, first in strikeouts, first in wins, and first in innings pitched. So there was no one else to give it to. And when you talk to Ricky Woodard, you know, pitchers, batters, base runners, defenders, Mullins was the most consistent player all season long. And a very special person off the field as well. Had the chance to visit with Mullins about a week ago. This was coming off the final home series of the year against Troy, going into the final regular season series period at UTA last week, which the Bobcats swept. So Mullins, again, really cool getting to know more about her background, coming through that pipeline of Barbersville High School that produces so much softball talent, her upbringing in Tarkenton, Texas, that first career game of hers, which was a 12-strikeout no-hitter, and her relationships with names like Randy Rupp and Kat Osterman, names a lot of Bobcat fans are familiar with. So let's get to it now. And again, a visit with a very special student-athlete. Here's our chat with Bobcat pitcher and the Sun Belt's pitcher of the year, Jessica Mullins. Next up in our States Up podcast student-athlete series is Jessica Mullins, sophomore pitcher out of Tarkenton, Texas, hailing from Barbersville High School. And Jessica, thanks for joining us. And I really want to kind of start with Barbersville, because something that we've brought up during our broadcast, it feels like every time I look on a roster for pitchers, I see that high school by their name. They went to Barbersville. You did. Randy Rupp, who was a star pitcher here before you, went to Barbersville. Other current players, Sam Landry at Louisiana, Sophia Simpson at Texas, both went to Barbersville. What's in the water over there?
Hi, Brant. Well, I believe that Barbersville, I mean, I just feel like I got lucky just going there and just being able to be a part of their program. I mean, it all just goes down to the whole culture just being there. I mean, it's literally a family. Mm-hmm. That entire school, they just treat you like family. They treat you like good friends. And it's really hard to not create good relationships there. And I just feel like with having those good relationships, you're just going to want to keep competing and keep getting better and improving. And I feel like that's what a lot of these players do, like including myself. You know, you just want to play for them. You want to play for your school even harder. And that just pushes you to improve mm-hmm. more and more. And it just creates good players like me, Sophia Simpson, Sam Landry, Randy Rupp, all those players that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to play well whenever you have a good background and good people that love to support you.
And I understand when it comes to Randy Rupp, she is somebody who was a big influence on you when it came to deciding to play at Texas State, somebody you got a chance to watch play, I would assume, in high school and then collegiately. How much of an influence has she had on your career?
I mean, I heard about Randy Rupp whenever I was in middle school. You know, whenever I heard, oh, I'm moving to Barbersville from Tarkenton and I wanted to take a look at the softball team, mm-hmm. That's who I saw. I saw Randy Rupp. She was the center of that team. And I wanted to be her. I wanted to be her, and I wanted to break her records. And it's just an easy competition. Not easy, actually. Very difficult competition to have. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's easy to form that relationship with her and easy to, I don't know, try to take after her footsteps. Mm-hmm. And once she went to Texas State or started going to Texas State, I was like, oh, like Texas State's actually a really good school. I want that to be one of my goals, is mm-hmm. to go to Texas State. You know, I had other options out there as well, but Texas State was at the top of the list. And, you know, since I've been here, I just constantly think about, oh, what would Randy Rupp do in this situation? What would she do if she was facing this team? You know, and I look up to her more than a lot of people think. And, mm-hmm. you know, I have her number in my phone right now. I could just come to her for any type of advice. Same goes for Kat Osterman, you know, and I just feel like she's a good person to have in your corner. And she constantly tells me that. She's, you know, I'm in your corner. I'm here to support you if you have any questions or need any advice. And that's just a love you want from, you know, a former competitor and just a good friend. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mentioned Kat Osterman, and there are so many pitchers in the country who are probably jealous in hearing the fact that you have her name in your contacts list. Certainly, Kat is one of the greatest pitchers who's ever done it, you know, at the sport. And in this university, kind of blessed to have had her as a coach for a number of years, and we're certainly fortunate to have her on a few of our broadcasts as well. And I know that, you know, she had a big hand in you coming to Texas State as well. She was the one that recruited you here. And obviously, any advice you take from her, you don't take lightly. Tell me about your relationship with Kat Osterman.
I mean, like you said, she was the one who recruited me. She's the one who reached out. I still remember the day that she texted me and said, "Hey, like, we've seen you improve. We know how good you are, and we want to see if you want to come for a visit." And it was just I was on cloud nine. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to take it. And I went over to my grandma and I was like, "Oh my gosh, Grandma, like, look at this. Like, Coach O just texted me and they wanted to see if I want to come for a visit." And it was amazing. It was mm-hmm. breathtaking. And at that point in time, I just knew that Coach O would be in my corner. You know, like, she's seen me through middle school. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know y'all have heard, or you've heard actually, her say that I wrote up here to Texas State just saying, "Oh, all of Randy Rupp's accomplishments and me mm-hmm. wanting to be her," and, you know, just following along with the program. And like, she's the one who noticed that. Mm-hmm. And it means a lot to me that she knows how compassionate I am and how much I actually care. And she cares back. Mm-hmm. She shows the love back. And it was just amazing to know that she's still here and she's still speaking beside you in the games. And mm-hmm. I just love hearing her and you, mm-hmm. of course, talk in the games. And it's amazing being able to be her friend.
You know, a funny story about Kat, and you referenced the two of us broadcasting the games together. Your very first game was against Abilene Christian last year. It was a game that kind of got pushed back because of the crazy weather we had the week leading up, the snowocalypse, whatever you want to call it. And I think it was a Monday game against Abilene Christian, a doubleheader. And you go out there and you throw a 12-strikeout no-hitter in your first career collegiate game. We went to a commercial break in the fifth inning, and I had alerted the production team that you had a no-hitter going. Kat Osterman turns her head slowly and gives me a death stare after I'd said this, because she didn't want me to jinx it. I told her I'll wait until we get to the bottom of the sixth to mention it. Because as anybody who follows me on social media knows, I'm not one who believes in the announcer's jinxes. And lo and behold, we did say it. You still got it. But take us back to what's going through your mind at that time. This is your first ever college game. You're wearing Randy Rupp's old number 4. You know, you're following in her footsteps almost literally. What was that like for you to take the circle and do what you did in your first ever game?
I mean, leading up to that game, once we were outside warming up, I didn't think that I was going to start. You know, I felt like a lot of the upperclassmen worked harder, or maybe just as hard as me. You know, I'm always trying to work hard, but, mm-hmm. you know, I felt like they deserved it more. You know, some of the seniors, it was their last first game, you know, and I just didn't realize that Coach McDuffie was going to give me the ball. And then whenever she gave me the ball, I was like, "Oh my goodness, like, this is actually happening." I was mm-hmm. like, okay, getting myself mentally prepared. And I went to go warm up in the bullpen, and I was kind of freaking out because I was like, am I going to have enough time to warm up? I just didn't know what to do. And so Coach McDuffie pulled me off to the side, and she was like, "Look, like, just calm yourself down. It's your first game, first college game. Don't freak yourself out too much," basically. Mm-hmm. And I just started. I mean, literally the first pitch, I hit her in the leg. And I guess it was just getting those nerves out, mm-hmm. but the entire time, my mentality in the entire game was, don't let them beat you. Mm-hmm. And it was constantly just keep proving yourself. And it's still like that today. I'm just constantly wanting to prove myself. And everyone knows who Jessica Mullins is, but I want to prove myself and make a name for myself. Yes, I love following in Randy Rupp's footsteps and having her number. Mm-hmm. But I want to be Jessica Mullins number 4, just like she was Randy Rupp number 4. Mm-hmm. And I just, the entire time that game was going on, I was just going out every single inning and treating it like the first inning. Just keep going, keep shoving it, and things eventually worked out in my favor. And I didn't even realize I threw a no-hitter, and I didn't even realize I was throwing a no-hitter until the last inning. And then I got the final out, and it was just crazy. I did not expect all the publicity. I didn't expect any of that to happen. I was just trying to throw my game and trying to be there for my team. So, yeah.
And that was the beginning of a special year, not just for you, but for the team. Of course, they wound up being an at-large team to the NCAA tournament. And I believe that the Freshman of the Year award came down to you and your teammate, Sarah Vanderford, who technically was a freshman, but you were still named to the all-conference team. But I want to go back to just the experience for you and as a freshman to be a part of a veteran-laden team, you know, players like Tara Ullman and Haley McKay and Megan King in the circle as well, all these vets, and to, for you to be a part of that and for a team to accomplish all the goals they did a year ago, what did that mean for you to start your career like that?
I mean, it meant a lot, but I think what comes down to it is you just have to have a lot of trust in your team. Like, if you can't get it done, they will. And I felt like that's what that team was made of. And we just had that type of grit that if one person couldn't do it, the other person would do it. And we wanted to just keep going, just to keep winning and winning. And I don't know. I don't really remember much from last year because I'm just so focused on this year or something. But it was a good team to be on, especially for my first year. I mean, there was good competition within each other. And I think that's what drove me a lot to be where I am today and to improve myself. And I don't know, it's just, it was a good team. I like that team.
What about this year's team and your teammates? Who are you closest to on this team?
This team is a little different from last team. I mean, like I just feel like we have much better relationships. You know, we just got out of a meeting earlier today and everyone agreed that we just feel more like family and we just love each other and we're going to have each other's backs. Our relationships are unmatched and we would go through a brick wall literally for each other. And I'm, of course, it's easy to say that I'm the closest to the pitching staff, but I feel like I'm the closest to Brooke Blackwell. I mean, like, she's a senior and you saw in the last series against Troy, like I got to hand the ball off to her and that was just a bittersweet moment. And it was captured through pictures and that's something that I'm going to save for my entire life. You know, like that's a memory that's going to last forever. And she's just been there for me. She's been my rock through this entire year. And I cannot explain the amount of love that I have for her.
Very cool moment for her, too, to come in and get that final out with a strikeout on her senior day against Troy. Something else about the game of softball, I'm not sure there are athletes who enjoy their sport more because you watch the interactions in the dugout and players. I think I saw somebody wore baby wipes as a hat during a rally inning in the series against Troy, and obviously the glove hats. And, you know, we see rally spirit animals in opposing dugouts. It's a very fun sport. And one thing I've noticed before games, and it's not just from your team at Texas State, it's from the others, all the girls are playing hacky sack, and I don't understand it. So help me understand, how has this become so popular among softball players?
Well, I mean, you have to be coordinated whenever you play softball, but I feel like hacky sack is really just a good pastime. I mean, we're not like soccer. We don't use our feet a lot, but I feel like whenever we play hacky sack, it's just a good competition for us to use our feet and be able to peg the heck out of people if we want to. I mean, it's just really fun. And then whenever people get more and more goofy as the game goes on or they do something stupid, it's that much more fun and it creates good relationships. And I mean, you can ask Chris Brown, he's always in the hacky sack circle. And it's just really fun for all of us to be there and be together and just, I don't know, get our adrenaline up, get our energy going and have a few laughs. And it's just, it's a really fun game. And I mean, people did it in travel ball. And I still remember playing it in travel ball. I didn't play it near as much as I play now. But it's overall, just like I said, it's a really fun game.
Getting back to some of your background a little bit, I want to talk about your family some, and you mentioned somebody earlier in the podcast, Granna. Your grandmother, who I understand you're very close to, take me inside your relationship with your grandmother a little bit and why she means so much to you.
I mean, my grandma was basically the one that raised me. I mean, we call her Grandma because she hates being called Grandma. It's really weird, but I mean, what she wants, she gets.
Yeah.
But she taught me everything that I know to this day. Like, she taught me how to cook, clean, be independent. She's the person that I go to whenever I need help, whenever I want to tell her good news. She's the person that I call whenever I'm walking to class, mm-hmm. if I'm bored, if I just need an answer to a question, if I'm like in between two different types of things and I need an opinion. Mm-hmm. She's my rock. And I don't think she realizes how much I do love her, and the way that she can just come to any game and it just automatically puts a smile on my face whenever I walk out of those gates and I see her, no matter if we win or lose. And she means the world to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that I would be here without her.
You know, you mentioned how your cooking was a part of your relationship with her. And when you and I chatted briefly before we got the interview going here, you mentioned to me that that's a big hobby of yours. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about what you like with cooking, what you enjoy to cook, and more about that aspect of your life.
I mean, in high school, whenever I would get really stressed out, me and my grandma would go into the kitchen and we would just bake cookies, bake cakes, just anything, mm-hmm. bake brownies. And cooking's a big part of our lives whenever it comes to like Thanksgiving mm-hmm. and Christmas. We're the people that out of our entire family that we cook a majority of the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's carried on into my college career. I mean, every Monday and Thursday, me and a former player, Bree Pendergraph, I don't know if you remember her or not, but she played her freshman year here 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She always texts me and she says, hey, what are we making tonight? What are we making tonight? It can be anywhere between like Asian meals, Italian, mm-hmm. American. We love a good chicken fried steak, mashed potatoes and gravy.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. And just getting good meals in like that and having good laughs with her. And I mean, like, I'll invite some teammates over and they'll also eat with us, and mm-hmm. it's a fun way to make relationships, and it's just, I don't know, it brings me back to my childhood, because that's what I would do whenever I was stressed out, like I said, or if I just wanted to be with people,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a good way to get everybody together and have a good time.
Another thing that you enjoy, from what I understand too, is you're big into country music, and you like older country music. I hate saying older because I understand it's from the 90s, and like that's when I grew up, but I understand that George Strait is somebody who you're a huge fan of, and of course he's an alum, you know, from this university. Tell me about your passion for country music.
I mean, whenever me and my dad would ride to town together and go just get some errands done back in Tarkington where I grew up, we would always just blare country music no matter what time it was. Listening to that now just brings me back to my childhood days, and it just brings me lots of joy,
mm-hmm.
and it just helps me calm down, and it just brings me to earth, you know. And I love listening to country music for those reasons, and it just, I don't know, just makes me happy.
Something I wanted to discuss with you before we kind of wrap things up here, and it's been such a lighthearted, positive interview. I don't want to bring things down, but it's an important thing to talk about, and that was the passing of Lauren Burnett from James Madison. Really hits close to home for a number of reasons. One, she obviously played the sport. JMU is about to be a colleague in the Sun Belt. They're going to be joining this conference in just a couple of months. She, unfortunately, is the third female student-athlete to have been lost far too soon over the past few months. The entire softball world was rocked when this news came about. Ricky Woodard had spoken with the team the day after the news broke. You and your teammates honored her legacy by wearing the purple ribbons in the Troy series. Tell me about your perspective as a student-athlete who goes through the pressures of playing, performing, studying. What did you take away from the experience?
I mean, as a student athlete, you just hate to hear that type of news. And I mean, on a personal level, I personally struggle with anxiety, mm-hmm. and I've struggled with it my entire time since I've been here at Texas State. And so I may not relate to that as much because her, of course, like her situation was a little different. But like, you hate to hear about people who are struggling with mental health. I mean, was it, what is it? 1 out of 3 people struggle with mental health. And it's just, you constantly want to check up on your friends. And I mean, it hit close to home because like, I could tell that people on our team needed that type of help, or not needed the same help as Lauren, but you know, you just constantly want to check up on them and make sure they're doing okay. And it's, mental health is a very damaging thing to your mind, and it can affect how you play. It can affect how you are outside of playing, and you just don't want, you don't want anything bad to happen to your closest friends. And it just really seemed like her team was blindsided by it, and you just want to prevent that as much as possible, because you know, you don't want to lose anybody as important like that. And I mean, she went to the Women's College World Series with Odyssey Alexander, and she played a huge role in her team. And it's, you know, like, even the ones that play and they are, I don't know, they give a lot to the team, it's those that really hide their mental illnesses the most. And so I think it's really important that you check up on your loved ones, and you check up on your friends, family, even the people that you aren't closest to, and you could be the difference between saving their life and not saving their life. And it's just really hard to hear news like that, especially in the softball world.
It tells you that it could affect anybody, even if there's a perceived amount of success that they have. You don't know what they're going through, and this is always a very difficult thing to talk about. Very well said, Jessica, on your part. And the bottom line is, it's okay to not be okay. And May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and hopefully more and more support is out there, and we can avoid tragedies like these, like this, moving forward. And certainly our thoughts are with the JMU family and Burnett's as well. Jessica, again, thank you so much for joining us here. It's been enlightening to get to know more about you. All the best to your continued success in the circle, and we look forward to seeing how things play out this year's Sun Belt tournament.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed talking to you today.
Well, thanks again to Jessica for joining us in the podcast. Congratulations to her once again on being named Sun Belt Conference Pitcher of the Year. First Bobcat to earn the award since Randy Rupp did it in 2018. And when Rupp won the award, the Bobcats also won the Sun Belt tournament that year. So perhaps something special brewing for them this weekend in Mobile, Alabama. Well, that's going to wrap up this special edition of the State Sub Podcast. Thanks again to Jessica Mullins for joining us, and be on the lookout for more of these podcasts coming up as we tell the stories of the student athletes here at Texas State. Until next time, I'm Brain Freeman, reminding you to keep your states up.